broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And the Golf Club Studios have taken over the Wildlife Country Club clubhouse. So the clubhouse, we're meeting in this beautiful Wildlife Country Club clubhouse. It's a glorious day. I don't just say that. I know people say it was beautiful in Hawaii all the time. Not necessarily. Today, it's gorgeous. It is a still day. Again, we're not going to have a lot of wind here at the Sony Open in Hawaii. We're going into, this is, of course, the first full-field PGA Tour event of this new year, Sony Open in Hawaii. Cut's been made. Hawaii golfers made the cut. So excited for a young man, Nick Mason. Been following him for years. The list of his victories locally and on the mainland, he's won the Hawaii State Open 3 times, the Hilo Invitational 5 times. He's the New Mexico Open 2015 champion, among many other victories. And it's just really great to see him playing so well. Course conditions favored the field, but the wind is calm. That's in part because of it. It is a very narrow course. It's surprising. And I'd like to talk to two people who know most about the Wailea Country Club in this hot, foggy weather, baking the ground, drying out some parts of the course and not others. I've got with me this morning, very happy to have Alex Maselli. He is, of course, now the publisher of Golf Week magazine. He's also a senior writer. And Mark Rolfing. Happy to have Mark Rolfing. I'm looking out over the ocean. Beautiful time to walk the reef and go do a little bit of checking out where the fish are. Love to watch Mark Rolfing fishing. And just, I'm looking, where's Mark this morning? And then I turned and he was at the door ready to be, he was ready to come in. Mark Rolfing, welcome. So good to see you.
I'm revved up, Daniel.
For fishing?
Well, I'm going to have to share the rod with Eric Compton this morning because, unfortunately, he won't be playing. He used it yesterday afternoon. Consider this. He flew all the way to Hawaii, shot 2 rounds in the 60s, and is done. That shows you what it's like to play on the PGA Tour these days. I mean, did not shoot a round in the 70s.
Yes,
is going home.
Exactly. The cut was 3 under, and he was right below that line. Alex, welcome. Alex Maselli, so good to see you.
Danny, how are you?
Good. <It's> always good to see you. Any surprising, like Mark is talking about Eric Compton not making the cut and shooting such a great a couple of rounds. What are your thoughts, just looking at everything?
Well, I mean, I think what's interesting, and if you talk to, I think this is the general concept throughout the tour now, when you talk to the older players, they're pretty much shocked how good the younger players are. It's just amazing. I mean, these guys are out here just firing at stuff. And the two guys on the top of the board have had zero success here in the past, Snedeker and Kisner, basically. I think Kisner's only time he made the cut here, it was MDF, which made him mad that he didn't get to play on Sunday. But, I mean, Snedeker's had no success here. A lot of missed cuts. You got Kisner, and yet they're the guys on the top of the board. And at the end of the day, they're likely not to be the guys that will necessarily win this tournament. I mean, a lot will happen on Saturday. But it's just amazing how good these guys really are. And I think that we, meaning I'm not on television anymore, but Mark's on TV, and I think you'll hear a lot of times from guys on television even that have played out here, they don't really completely understand how good these guys are on a daily basis because, you know, you'll hear guys talk about how, oh, well, that's a tough shot. Boom, you know, 3 feet.
That's it. That's it. Mark, on playing in these conditions, we talk about the VOG. It's V-O-G. It's volcanic haze. Sits offshore just south of the Big Island, and it's there. You can see it on they have a National Weather Service has a map monitoring it. When the winds come from the south, it just blows across the chain, and it really creates completely different conditions. The sun feels hotter. The moisture wicks out of your body. What's it like playing like this in these conditions?
Oh, these poor guys for $6.5 million.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's different.
It's different, you know, but to Alex's point, I don't know if I will say it's a tough shot once in 4 hours today, unless a guy's right up against a coconut tree or something and has to hit it backwards. There are not a lot of tough shots out there for these guys. The one thing you do have to do is make sure you don't go out there and start trying to rip it right out, you know, out of the gate, because the opening couple holes are really tough. I think the start here at Wailea, in a lot of ways, is like Kapalua. 1 and 2 over at Kapalua are really important to get a couple of pars under your belt. And it's the same thing here. The problem with the first two rounds at Wailea, and I always remember this, I think I played in 3 Hawaiian Opens, but you come out here, and if you have an afternoon tee time on Thursday, you're 10 behind, you know, before you ever put your shoes on to go play. And you have this mentality, oh, my heavens, I got to go out there and, you know, really, really get some birdies fast. But you can't do that here. If you try to press too hard at Wailea, you're going to shoot some high scores. So I love this course. It's getting better and better all the time, just like Kevin Kisner.
Okay. Tom Doak came in and took a look at the course, took some trees out, had him on the show last year talking about what the Wailea Country Club members wanted to do to bring the course. You're not going to make it the way it was back in 1926 when Seth Rayner built the course because there's too much encroachment. But he, Doak came in and did some changing. Can you see it?
Oh, I can, for sure. And actually, I talked to Tom on Wednesday this week, who's in Switzerland in the middle of winter looking at another piece of property for a golf course. But I asked him literally, you know, what his overall vision was and what is the status of the project. The restoration is on, I would call, a temporary hiatus. They're going to do it in phases. So you're seeing some work that's been done over there at 5, 6, and 7 on the green areas. Really, the only hole that has been changed dramatically is 9. But as much as he changed 9 and made the fairway narrower and the bunkers deeper and everything else, the scoring average doesn't reflect. These guys are just blowing it right past the bunker and hitting 9 irons into that par 5. So, you know, the game is changing quicker than Doak's restoration, to be honest with you.
Well, it is, and it's okay. We talk about Tiger Woods, and we talk about how Jordan Spieth is getting so much better, and probably will be better than Tiger Woods. And that's what I'm hearing. Okay,
Danny, Alex is looking at me with this look.
Yes. Tiger Woods got these kids into the fitness. He got the coaches. He surrounded himself with people who helped make his game. They followed Tiger. They did what Tiger did. He created the cookie cutter. This is how you do it. This is how you perfect yourself.
Well, I mean, first of all, I have all the respect in the world for Jordan Spieth. And I've talked about Tiger in different ways throughout his career because I've covered him since 1996 at the U.S. Amateur. But the bottom line is Jordan Spieth has a long way to go to get to where Tiger Woods was or
even is.
But that being said, I understand what you're saying about fitness being important now and some of the other things. But the bottom line is that everybody has to take those pieces and use them in the right way. Some people do, some people don't. I mean, you take Luke Donald, I think is a perfect example. Luke Donald thought he needed, after being world number one in the world, thought he needed to get longer to be able to get to the next level. Luke Donald almost lost his career by trying to do that. So you have to play within yourself. Not everybody can be Tiger Woods. Not everybody can go out and lift weights and do this and do that. You have to find what works for you. And I think, you know, if you talk to Zach Johnson, he's got a team. That team works for him. That team that Zach Johnson has does not mean it's going to work for Jordan Spieth or it's going to work for Bram Snedeker or somebody else. So I think you have to figure out what works for you, because this tour is a tough place. You start getting things going a little sideways, you have to be able to deal with it. And some people can and some people can't. We talk about all the players that come out from college golf that you think are going to be great. And I go all the way back to Brad Elder, who everybody thought was going to be the next whoever.
And Ty Votto. I thought of somebody completely
different. And Brad Elder, you can't even basically find him out in golf anymore. So I think you have to measure that. I don't think that that fitness is unimportant. I just think you have to see how it works for you.
Absolutely. We watched someone go from a great golfer to the weight room and then find himself tumbling down the world golf rankings because he followed Tiger Woods into the fitness center. You've got to play what your body wants to play. You've got to stay with your swing, Mark.
Well, I think fitness to an extent is important to me. If you look at BJ Singh, he's the quintessential guy that the average listener should look at and say that by far the number one thing is flexibility. If you can stay flexible, particularly the older you get, whether you're on the PGA Tour or you're, you know, a member of a club or a public golfer, that is the single most important thing. So am I a big fan of lifting weight? You know, am I worried about some of the stuff that Rory's doing? You know, I am a little bit, but what I like about what Rory does that I see in BJ and some of these guys that are still playing well into their 50s is flexibility. Just concentrate on that, folks. You don't need to worry about getting stronger. Stronger doesn't necessarily mean you're going to hit the ball farther.
Okay. And speaking of fitness and the game, you're going to take up golf again after going through an amazing operation, a difficult radiation therapy treatment, and with an amazing sense of mind, Seth, the way that you approached the treatment that you had to go through. You had the spirit. You were going to succeed. Every time you were on the show with me, I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to come through. I'm going to be fishing at the Sony Open. I'm going to be there, Danielle. Yes, I'm going to be there. So with that in mind, now you want to play golf.
I do. And I'm never going to play as well as I did. I know that. But, you know, for everybody listening, I think everybody should do this. And you look at the PGA Tour players. You look at the best players in the field this week. What they did during whatever short off season they had was they went back and they looked at their fundamentals. And they really checked their grips, and they checked their posture, and they checked their aim, and they checked their ball position, and the key fundamentals. And so I am going to do that. I know that my swing speed isn't going to be there simply because physically I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. I'm going to have a much weaker left side. So who is the greatest instructor in the world, maybe one of the greatest of all time? Butch Harmon. He was in our booth the other day at Kapalua on Saturday. And we got to talking, and I just decided, you know what, why not? Why would I not take the opportunity to go see the best in the world and start over? So I'm going to try and rebuild a golf game and play to whatever Butch, you know, thinks are my strengths, stay away from my weaknesses. You know, I'll still have a pretty good short game like I've always had, and I'll play a little more probably like Steve Stricker does, although not nearly as well. But, you know, you watch a guy like Stricker, he never tries a shot he can't play or that he hasn't practiced. He doesn't have to put a lot of pressure on himself to hit the ball 3 feet from the hole because he's so good from 10 feet speed, the same way in a lot of ways. So play to your strengths, not your weaknesses, and that's what I'm going to try to do. I just don't know what those strengths are yet.
Yeah, well, that's what you're going to discover. Would you consider changing clubs? I mean, we've got...
I don't have any clubs. I don't know where I left them before I went to MD Anderson.
You don't have any clubs.
I'm starting over.
Oh, you're starting.
I'm starting from scratch, Danielle.
All right. Okay. So we've got Tony Finau, Brooks Koepka going to Nike. I love the way Finau described the way he figured out which ball he was going to play. You know, he started on the green and worked his way back to the wedges, went from the green backwards to the tee. Now, to me, that just made perfect sense. Others liked, because what they'd been using in the past, they found a club that whichever company they were going to had one that was kind of like what they'd been playing with before. So they said, oh, that's good. I like that, which just kind of tells you that the club manufacturers will play or create clubs that fit the player. Not necessarily you have to take it off the rack and play what we're selling to everybody else.
Well, yes. You also have to remember that in this age of technology, the difference between the various manufacturers and the quality of the equipment that they put out is much smaller than it was 40 years ago. I mean, you could get some really bad stuff on an equipment change 40 years ago, and that's just not really the case anymore. I'm not a huge fan of these equipment changes. I think if I were making $10 million a year, let's say, on the PGA Tour, I would say, you know what? I would consider it if it were 50% of my income, but I'm not sure if I had made $10 million that I would change my equipment for $500,000, which is a lot of money. $500,000 is a lot of money. But if it's 5% of your total pot, I'm not sure that's worth it.
Exactly.
But
Alex,
but there are changes under the criteria you just outlined. There are changes that are happening out here this year that fit that criteria.
Tell us.
Well, okay, you have to be more specific because you're talking inside. Well, this is Alex Maselli, publisher, Golf Week magazine. He's staying at the Waikiki Beachcomber. Are you enjoying where you're staying?
You know, I have to be honest with you. I have been to Honolulu and the Sony Open, I can't even remember how many times. And I've never really stayed in a place that I liked as much as this place because it's right on the strip. It's right across the street from the Apple Store.
Yeah. How much better? Something goes wrong, and the rooms are great,
and everything is, I mean, the place is great. And it's like, so I got to send a note to the GM and say, hey, you know, I really do like this place. It really is nice. And, you know, it's easy to find a place. We travel so much. It's easy to find a place that you really don't like. But I really like, I mean, I love coming here. I love the Sony Open. So I really love this week. And so to have a place that's so easy to get to and so easy to walk around and stuff like that. I mean, the Beachcomber is great. So, I mean, if anybody's coming,
well,
I know who's listening.
Beachcomber.
Yes.
And by the way, Alex Maselli, publisher, senior writer, Golf Week magazine, told me months ago that the Sony Open and the Hawaii Swing is his favorite part of the PGA Tour season.
I love this. I mean, there are times when I've not gone to Kapalua and just come here for a lot of reasons. But, I mean, I love this. But to get back to your original question,
yes,
I don't want to get lost.
No. I was going to take you back there because I think it's really important. When is there an equipment change that's based on money? Why would you jeopardize that?
Well, first of all, Mark said it right. I mean, there were times when Payne Stewart or Corey Pavin made changes. And they made changes for the money. That was the only reason they made the change. They had won a U.S. Open. You know, they could cash in. And the cash-in was whatever. They'd go to play over in Japan, do all these other things. And that's they cashed in. But that was back when the money was a little different. So you got somebody like Zach Johnson now, who won the Open Championship. And Zach's 40-ish. And someone offers him a pretty good amount of money with a set of irons or a set of equipment that, as Mark just said, is at least as good as everything else that's out there, if not better. You don't know where it all fits. So somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to give you $3, $4, or $5 million, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. to play this equipment. Now, in Zach's case, he has the opportunity to play the same ball he played throughout his career, which is a Pro V1, which if you talk to anybody that makes a change, the ball is the biggest part of the equation. So if you can play your ball, that's a huge thing. So now I got somebody coming to me saying, I'm going to give you this kind of money to play this equipment, and I start playing with this equipment, and I'm like, I like this equipment. It's not going to, I mean, I'm going to have to make some adjustments because every time you make a swing change or equipment change, you're probably going to have to make some kind of adjustment.
Feel, yeah.
But at $3, $4, or $5 million, at 40 plus years old, is that a bad move? And I think the answer is no.
Okay. Mark.
Well, I think it remains to be seen. I don't think it's a bad decision necessarily. No, again, because the equipment is also good. The whole thing about equipment, I think, is comfort. If you believe in what you have and in what you're playing, it's almost more relevant to believe in it than to actually have it be of the same caliber as some other equipment. Because we saw great players back when I was a kid that were playing with horrible equipment and still hitting great shots. These guys are so talented, they can do it. The difficulty with changing equipment, and Rory went through it, there are two things that happen with that. First of all, is you just have to do incessant testing. I think sometimes that tends to throw a guy off in terms of his routine, who may not be a huge tester of stuff, trying to find the right thing. And, you know, especially as you get on into your career, you got to get comfortable in your schedule and where you're playing and the time with your family and everything else. And I would just hate to see somebody make an equipment change that then caused them to have to test, you know, forever and ever and ever, and until they got comfortable. That's all. But I think Zach's going to be fine with his.
Yeah, tinkerers. Tinkerers like to try things. They want to
see Padraig Harrington. Yeah.
You know what? What's interesting? What you say? I think we all know Jack used to play McGregor, the ball in the club, and the ball was horrible. But when Jack would go overseas, he'd have to contractually play another equipment because that was the deal he had. So if he played in the U.S., he'd play McGregor. When you go overseas, play something else. I mean, he didn't play that stuff until he showed up. And then on top of that, if you're playing at the Open Championship, you're playing the small ball versus the big ball. Those guys were amazing. T- today.
Those guys were amazing. And for us to say, take anything away from it, because what these kids are playing with now is something like the Big Bertha when it came out and rescued everybody who was having to play a charity event and scared to death because they weren't going to be able to come in contact with the ball. I know more women who said, thank God the Big Bertha saved me. I can actually believe that I'm going to hit the ball. Okay, it's kind of like that. Yes, Mark?
It is, but you made a great point about Tony Finau. Even as bad as Jack Nicklaus's ball was back then, you could still chip it and you could still putt it. And Tony's point about telling you that he works from the green backwards is he feels the biggest change may be in making an adjustment around the greens, and that's where your strokes are made and saved. And, you know, when I think back about Nicklaus couldn't hit the ball nearly as far, you know, or he made a change in with a ball, but he had to go overseas and play a smaller ball or a bigger ball. The one thing that he could still do was he could still chip and putt. Now, it was different when you used a different size ball. A smaller ball sat down in the grass, and that thing was tougher to chip anyway.
You need to explain that to people who don't realize the size of the ball was different.
Well, I think it was about the same size as my tumor, actually, 1.68 versus 1.62. I wish mine would have been the European size. So the 6/100 doesn't sound like much, Danielle, but just that little smallness in a golf ball when they had to go over to Europe and play it, Alex, you know, it just sits a little more down in the grass.
Yeah.
It's totally different. It plays better in the wind, but it's harder to chip.
We're talking with Alex Maselli, Golf Week publisher and senior writer, and Mark Rolfing, analyst, Golf Channel, and NBC Sports, in the tower for the Sony Open in Hawaii, and that's where we are right now. We're going to come back and talk some more golf and what's going on. Yeah, there were some fantasy picks. Morgan Hoffman, Stephen Bowditch, Tony Finau. I don't understand fantasy sports, but it's fun for a whole lot of people. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded. Taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I even? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. The Clubhouse. We're meeting in the Wildlife Country Club Clubhouse. I'm not a member, but as a member of the media, I'm allowed to be here. Glorious sunrise. If you could come out, I mean, there's some guys stand up paddle boarding. I'm sure there's somebody going to be out there fishing on the reef. It's the perfect day for that. Wildlife Country Club opened back in 1927, and the course measures, I think, 7,044 yards for the Sony Open, plays to a par 70. There are only two par 5s on the course. It has hosted this PGA Tour event since 1965. And for the tournament, this Seth Rayner course is played reversed. The front nine becomes the back nine. Your past champions include Ernie Els, DJ Singh, Russell Henley, Zach Johnson, Jimmy Walker, two-time defending champ, not having the best time of it, defending in this event. It's interesting, all the things that he had to do. He played in the Hawaii Tourism Authority Pro Junior Challenge, Skills Challenge, that was on Tuesday, and he did win. I wonder if there's sort of like a master's curse. If you, you know, if you win the par three, you don't get to win the Masters. So if you win the Pro Junior Challenge, you're not going to do well in the zone. What do you think, Mark?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody ever thought of that, actually.
Well, I know. It's good. It raises money for the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association.
I think
it's terrific.
I think Jimmy Walker's problem has nothing to do with the fact that he won the thing on Tuesday.
Absolutely believe you. Completely no problem. What do you think his problem is?
Well, that's a good question, actually. Mark mentioned Butch Harmon, who Jimmy's been working with for a while now. But since his win at Valero, I think Jimmy's had two top tens, one of them last week in a limited field event. You know, and it's not the first time this has happened. He gets, you know, basically through the first quarter of the calendar year, first third of the calendar year, and then he kind of like loses his game to some extent. And I'm not really sure what it is, and I'm not sure he does either. And when you talk to him about it, it's kind of like, well, no, I'm playing well. It's not a problem. It's this and that. But, I mean, you know, the results are not the same. And, you know, sometimes it can be, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it can be just the fact that the courses they play later in the year are not courses that fit him. I mean, he's a Texas guy, likes Bermuda, likes, you know, back those kind of grasses, and we start getting into Bent and things of that nature, things change.
Right.
But whatever it is, he struggles with it, and he's struggled a lot over the last couple of years when he's been, he's like first in the FedEx Cup after Valero last year and finished 10th, and his world ranking plummeted comparatively. So he's got some issues he's trying to figure out, and I don't think he has an answer.
What do you think, Mark?
Well, he's going through a little bit of a swing change. If you watch his move that he's working on with Butch Harmon, it's sort of this move where his head goes through the ball faster than his body, and actually the club head itself, it reminds me a little of Annika Sorenstam, David Duvall, who got that chin up going through the ball. I'm not exactly sure why he is doing that. It could well be physical in the case of Jimmy, but you know, the thing about Jimmy is he's a streaky putter, and there are times when he putts really well, and there are times when he doesn't. He hasn't putted particularly well this week. He hit a couple of really bad wipes yesterday that I saw out there. And the thing about Wailea, you know, you don't putt very well here, and you're just going to get stampeded. Now, having said that, he's still at 137. You know, he's only had 137 strokes for 36 holes, which, you know, it's not great, but it's not the end of the world either. It ain't bad. Could he still win this tournament? I think he could. He's got a lot of guys ahead of him, but I'm not that worried about Jimmy Walker yet, and especially in a year like this year when he's got the Ryder Cup on the horizon and, you know, the Olympics and all these gigantic prizes that are sort of sitting out there. I think Jimmy will get it turned around.
Yeah, don't you think we act much too hastily in deciding that somebody has a terrific year one year, and then the media immediately were talking about, oh, what's wrong with so-and-so? He's, you know, his game is off. Yeah, his game is off, but isn't that golf?
It's the nature of our society now, too. You think about how society has changed. We want instant results. We have these phones, you know. You can't wait 20 minutes to find something out, but now you can go on your phone and find it out. We want instant results from these players. And, you know,
and consistent. It's got to be the same all the time. They have to perform as well as they did last time.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of pressure on guys. And I think the guys that are in really good streaks, maybe those streaks aren't quite as good as we think. And the ones, you know, that are playing in poor, you know, have poor streaks going on aren't that bad. The difference today is there are so many players that they're dealing with in terms of, you know, getting passed, let's say, by shooting what Eric Compton did and going home. There's just a lot of guys that could win this golf tournament that nobody ever thought about on Wednesday, that's for sure.
Yeah. Alex,
I agree and disagree with a lot of that, but I think the first point is true. I mean, we just talked about it earlier, Snedeker and Kisner on the top of the board. Those are guys that maybe you're not thinking about when you come in here. But I think, you know, you take Jimmy Walker. I mean, yes, I mean, he put himself above the fray, I thought, over the last couple of years. I thought he put himself in a position where you looked at him as one of the better players on the PGA Tour, one of the better American players on the PGA Tour. And I think he's struggling. And you're right about the head thing that they're working on. I mean, he incorporated it at Hero, and he finished T8. And then he, again, used it at Capitol last week, and he finished in top 10. So maybe that's what's going to work for him. But I don't know why his game is, and I think it's fair, his game is not where it was, and I don't know why. And I'm not one of those people that say, look, you know, these guys are so good, and you expect so much from them. I mean, Kevin Kisner's on an excellent run. I mean, he could have 5 wins right now in a year's time period, you know, losing in playoff after playoff after playoff, and then finally winning. He's on an excellent run. But and he could fall back, and 2 years from now, we may not be talking about Kevin Kisner. I mean, it's true. It's how good, it's the nature of what this is out here. But that being said, when a player gets to a point where they're playing so well, and they know now how to play well on this tour, when they start going the other direction, I mean, I think it's only fair to suggest that maybe they're having some issues.
Yeah, okay. Everybody's having issues. Sometimes we're
Are you,
on,
Danielle, having issues?
Sometimes we're off. Oh, heck, you know, life throws you curveballs all the time. We're talking about golf. These guys are dealing with everything else that goes on in a person's personal life, whatever that happens to be. Mom's having a bad time. Children are going through changes. They need more attention. Beards are growing. We've got to talk about the beard. But before we transition, I just wanted, Jordan Spieth was on such a roll putting, and I think after Kapalua, after the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, he said, you know, I was surprised at how well I came back after the break, and my game was, my ball was still rolling on the greens as well as they were. And he says he's ready for Kapalua right now. Raf, can you take care of that?
I don't think it's right for me to sit here and say that I felt like parts of my games weren't quite ready, because 30 unders, you know, spectacular. You know, I mean, I'm very pleased with that. I don't know how I really could have scored better this week. I kept the ball in play every hole, had chances almost every hole for birdie, and you know, got a lot of them to go. My putting feels like it is 100% ready for major championships, and I've just got to just dial in everything else just a little bit more. But I can sit here and say that my putting's certainly ready for Masters to be next week. You know, it's a really good feeling to have that confidence with the flat stick.
And that's the bottom line, isn't it? That confidence.
Well, he's got it, and I will tell you this. He's better than I thought he was. I think he's better than almost everybody thought he was, and getting better. And it's not just putting. I saw him hit 3 days in a row a shot at 15, which is one of the hardest shots on the plantation course. A second shot hanging live, ball below his feet to a green that nobody can get it on, and always they're bailing out to the right down to that horrible chipping area. And 3 days in a row he hit that shot. Kurt Byram said it might be the best shot he'll see all year long, a second shot on a par five that Spieth hit. But, you know, the one thing that you can't overlook with Spieth is the fact that he was on Maui a week ahead of time, and sure, he came with his family, and yes, he and Ellie were out floating around on inner tubes at the Cliff House, but the fact is he was out at the plantation more, of course, at the crack of dawn every day. He played 6 practice rounds, as good a year as he had. He wants a better one.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because preparation. The guy worked at knowing that course, making it his home course, and he wasn't there the year before. He regretted not being there the year before.
Snedeker did the same thing, and look what's happening now. Look at the results for him.
So he's been here at YLI playing.
He was at Kapalua. Snedeker got to Kapalua on Thursday before tournament week, so he was there a full week ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
I think he played 6 practice rounds, too. Now, he had hightailed it from Australia after shooting 84 down there and went and saw Butch Harmon, and so he was kind of revved up that maybe he was going to get back on track, but he didn't come with Mandy and the kids to, you know, go up and watch sunrise at the crater. He came to watch sunrise on the first tee at the plantation. He was out there every morning.
Yeah. Alex Maselli, Golf Week publisher and senior writer.
A couple things. One, Jack Nicklaus used to go to certain venues, major venues, in 3, 4, 5 days in advance. And, I mean, obviously we already know what the history of Jack has been in majors. But when Rolf talked about Jordan and kind of surprised. I was lucky. I met Jordan when he was 16 with Andrew McGee because he played at the same golf course that Andrew did when Andrew was a kid in Dallas, Texas, and they used to have a fundraising event. And that's where I met Jordan for the first time back when he was 16. And I always thought he was a pretty good player. And I think what was interesting is when he decided to come out, and people don't remember this, but he didn't get his card. A lot of the equipment manufacturers were kind of concerned about if they would sign him or not, because he was not the name that on the coming out. It was a guy named Patrick Cantlay.
Right. Under Armour loved him, and he was
right. The
only love he was getting.
And the thing that was lucky about that was is because he had an Under Armour deal, he could decide from an equipment standpoint who he wanted to go with, even though it may have been a lesser financial deal for him because of the fact he had the Under Armour deal. So that's why he ended up with Titleist.
But I'm confused. You said you were surprised at something I said. Was it that I said that Jordan was better than I thought?
Yes.
Wow. You know, 2 years ago, I watched him play quite a bit of golf in the Florida swing and then through Texas, and I was not convinced he was a great driver of the ball. I got to tell you that. You know, he didn't hit the ball that far, and he hit some crooked shots that went in different directions. He was just such a good putter, it didn't seem to matter. But I think for me to say that he's better than I thought shows really how good I think he is now. But he's also gotten better. I mean, as good as he was, he has gotten better.
Well, there's no question about that, but I think that's the whole point. I mean, the best part about Jordan Spieth has nothing to do with his golf swing. The absolute best part about him was the heart that he had from the beginning. I mean, he got out here, found a way to win, took advantage of those wins, and now is where he is today. I mean, but that all happened, and Mark's right, he got better because he's smart enough to know that he needed to get better. But, I mean, it was all in here. And if he doesn't have the moxie he had from an early age, there's no way he's where he is right now.
Well, out of the class of 2011, there were so many names that people were bandying about, and Spieth was just one of them, and he really came to the to four. What I'm wondering now is the name, Ty Tryon, you know, do you remember?
Oh, that's who you were talking about.
Yes, Ty Tryon, you know, the guy that, 17, he was going to be the next greatest thing in the world of golf, the next whatever, and then he's gone. The poor kid is just gone, eaten up by the whole system.
You know why?
Tell me.
Callaway paid him $1 million, and at that time, that was a lot of money. So they give $1 million to an unproven player, and it put so much pressure, I think, on Ty Tryon to perform. It was a suffocating pressure that hadn't been there. In a lot of ways, the same thing happened to David Duvall when he did his big Nike deal. And, you know, somebody pays you $6 or $7 million a year like that to play their equipment. It's a different kind of pressure. It's an added pressure that's different. And I thought Tryon had too much pressure, got too much money early on.
Yeah. When you have to perform based on what you've been paid to do up front, that is a lot. What you're saying is absolutely. I would Duvall, the other thing with Duvall is he went into the weight room. He wasn't a fit, trim guy. When he became number one, then he decided to become fit, trim guy, lost weight. That's not necessarily a good thing for the body type that he
right.
is.
But I think David Duvall is an anomaly. Mm-hmm. I think David Duvall, there were many things going on with David Duvall.
Okay.
I think the combination of everything, personal as well as professional, ended up to what you got out of David Duvall, who I think now is a... I think if David Duvall today, the David Duvall in his head today was out on the PGA Tour, he would be more successful than he would have been back in the day. And he's learned a lot in the last 10 or 15 years.
Fabulous. Okay. Bryson DeChambeau. He's the next greatest thing to come in from college golf to everyone's talking about the different kind of equipment. He's such an intelligent young man. I think Bobby Jones is now, he's being compared to the intelligence of Jones, the mechanical engineer, the mathematician, and he's going to be so great. That's the stuff that bothers me, that we talk about somebody that much and put so much on someone. Do you think the media plays a role in the pressure?
Oh, I think in the case of Bryson, he's kind of welcomed it in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, I keep sort of harping on the same theme, and that is as time goes on, it's going to get harder and harder to come out and quickly break out as a star because there are just so many guys. And by the way, there's a guy sitting back in Florida, I guess Abu Dhabi by now, by the name of Rory McIlroy, who last week was watching Jordan and went, uh-oh, I better get back to work. And so, sure, Bryson has got a tremendous future ahead of him, but it is going to get harder and harder for a kid to come out and quickly make a huge impact,
yeah,
I think.
I absolutely see your point completely.
Well, let's talk about two guys that are staples on the PGA Tour now, but when they came out, had really struggled. Matt Kuchar, who had a name, had all this behind him, all this amateur stuff, played, you know, why doesn't he turn? He's so good, and this, that, struggled, and then finally got it figured out. Justin Rose, who missed
how many cuts?
20-something cuts when he turned on the European Tour before he got it together. And, I mean, Justin Rose now, who had to learn how to play better. I mean, I thought it was interesting talking to Ian Poulter. Ian Poulter thought that Justin and Ian pretty much had the same game 5 years ago or less. Pretty much the same distance off the tee, pretty much the same kind of game. Probably not great putters. Justin will tell you that he doesn't feel like he's a really good putter. Justin Rose now and Ian Poulter is like night and day, and even Ian Poulter will tell you that. He's so much longer, and he's got this, he's got that, which I think is what forced Luke Donald to say, hey, I need to try to change my game after Justin won at Marion. So that being said, I think you can see guys that have struggled when they first came out now are actually staples on this tour. Bryson DeChambeau is a completely different character than all of those guys. He is 10 times smarter than Ian Poulter. Just because Ian Poulter is more of a, I have two daughters. One we say is street smart and one is book smart. And I think Ian Poulter is street smart. And I think Bryson DeChambeau is book smart.
Certainly. That's how they were raised.
And I think the bottom line is Bryson DeChambeau, who finished third, I think it was, in Australia. And it was really his first time since what happened at SMU where the school lost their golf program for a year under suspension. You know, he had to kind of change gears quite quickly. He's going to be in Abu Dhabi, and he's going to be in Dubai in the next couple of weeks. So I think you'll see more about Bryson DeChambeau. But I think Bryson DeChambeau, again, a kid I've known since his U.S. Amateur days at the country club. I actually went to the Red Sox game with him at Fenway. Just a really good, smart kid, and I think he will get through this. But, you know, it's like anything else. This game can eat you up.
He's shopping. He's keeping his irons. He's shopping for the driver, the putter.
He's not going to change the putter.
Not changing the putter.
He's got the Adele irons and the Adele putter. He's not going to change those. But you're right on the rest of the clubs. He's taking a serious look at different things.
And different things. So it'll be interesting to see what he chooses. We're going to take a break really quick. Happy to tell you that I'm talking with Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports analyst. He's in the tower. We're at the Sony Open in Hawaii. Fabulous leaderboard. I'm thrilled to see Brent Snedeker at the top of the leaderboard getting his game back because I think he's one of the most personable, charming young men, getting older with a family now. But really happy to see. I wish Matt Kuchar was having the same success getting his game back because he's another one. Just a smiling, charming personality that attracts people. We'll be right back. We got to take care of the people who make this show possible. Thank you very much. Poipu Bay Golf Course. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The big hitters on the PGA Tour challenge Wildlife for the Sony Open January 11th through the 17th. Kick off the 2016 tour season with Jimmy Walker, Zach Johnson, KJ Choi, and more. Big names, big action, big benefits for charity. Tickets at SonyOpenInHawaii.com or at First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. Military free with valid ID. Admissions and bag policy apply. Visit SonyOpenInHawaii.com.
Montgomery Power Sports, serving Hawaii statewide for 65 years. Family owned and operated. You'll find motorcycles by Suzuki, Indian, Victory, Husqvarna and Polaris ATVs and multifunctional vehicles, and Jam electric vehicles. Visit our showroom with our friendly, knowledgeable staff at 550 Nimitz Highway next to the Liha Bakery. Financing available OAC. Montgomery Power Sports, where the tires grab the road.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played.
Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome. Yeah, this is Mark Rolfing. He is Golf Channel, NBC Sports golf analyst. He's in the tower. We're at the Sony Open in Hawaii. We're having a fabulous time. The sun is coming up. It's a gorgeous morning. And with us is Alex Maselli, Golf Week publisher. Are you happy you became publisher with all that entails?
I had no idea what it entailed. What does it entail? Tell us. Give us a little thumbnail.
Well, unfortunately, not only is it the editorial, but it's also the business part of the equation.
Oh, you mean the sales department?
Well, that's part of that falls under my preview as well. Yes, it's a lot of stuff. And, you know, let's be honest. I mean, even in the television business, but in publishing, it's even worse, I think. Just the, you know, subscriptions and advertising and everything else. It's a very tough business. And we're a niche publication, so... it makes it even more difficult. But that all being said, I think after 4+ months now, I'm very optimistic about what we're doing and where we're going. But that's how I am.
That you are. And Golf Week, I can see it online. I like what you're doing. You're making the magazine that goes out more of a feature magazine, so you can read things that are more in-depth features. And then you're doing the news online, focusing there, right?
Right, trying to. I mean, we're reinventing ourselves over a period of time, and as you're doing it, you know, you still have to provide the service to your clientele. So it makes it a little more difficult. But I think the magazine this week is a perfect example of where we're trying to go, slowly but surely evolving to that. We brought artists in to do the covers versus the way the covers were done before, doing a lot of things inside a little differently. Just trying to give the reader a better feel for what happened, not just this week more, but going forward.
Yeah. I want you to talk about the Waikiki Beachcomber in just a second, and I want to talk really quick about Poipu Bay Golf Course. The reason I love Poipu Bay Golf Course and the guys over there in charge, Craig Sasada and his whole team, they're trying to do things to change the way people have to approach the game. Some people don't have the time, but they really want to go play. So, for instance, in the afternoon at 4:30, you can go to Poipu Bay Golf Course. You can hit balls on the range. Then you get your cart. Then you go out and play the first three holes, and they happen to be a 3, 4, and a 5. So you're getting a little bit of everything, and it's $30. You know, it's really affordable, and it's just enough time so you can play that, get home, and still have time for family. Or let's say on a weekend you want to play 9 holes. You don't have time for the full 18. You got things to do with the family. So you go out in the morning, 7 to 8:30. You get on the practice facility. Then they'll take you to the back nine. You get to play the back nine, and that's $99. So you get all the stuff that comes with it and the 9 holes. And you probably have a little bit more room to move because you're starting on the back nine. It's very cool what they're doing at Poipu Bay. I think more golf courses need to think like that to make it successful. I really do.
Well, you know, our game is struggling, I mean, financially.
Yeah.
You start seeing courses closing. You're starting to see a lot of different things go on. So we have to be much more innovative than we've been in the past. And I think when we start doing that, I'll give you a perfect example. When I go to what will be Career Builders next week, and I'm not this year, but usually I do go. And there's a 18-hole par 3 course there in Indio that's lit. And at 7 o'clock at night, there's probably 30 of us in a cart playing a skins game.
Yeah, I love it.
And everybody pays. Everybody's having a great time. We're all, you know, you hit a shot. If it's not on the green, you chip on. If it doesn't go to the hole, you might as well pick up because you're not going to win a skin with 30 people with a par. And you just keep going. And I'm going to tell you, there's nobody that has a bad time, and there's a little music going on and so forth and so on. We need to get more innovative. We need to get more doing things that people can do. And I think the night part of the game is so important because if you talk about timing issues, Well, people don't have time during the day. Either they're working, whatever. When they get home and it's 7 o'clock or night or 7:30, they can take their kids out somewhere for an hour or two and go hit balls or go do something. But if it's dark, you can't do anything.
We need to change the expectations of the average golfer when it comes to maintenance. And here's why. Just listening to you about Poipu Bay, and I love Poipu Bay, and Craig Sasada does a great job over there. I do want to play the back nine at 4:30 at Poipu Bay because those are the beautiful holes, and I love the finish. At the Bay Course at Kapalua, I want to play the front nine because that's where the ocean holes are. So if I got 9 holes to play in the morning, I want to play the front nine. But that's very difficult to do in today's world. Why? Because they're mowing greens, they're mowing fairways, they're doing all this stuff. And I believe there will be a day, and needs to be a day, where the average golfer doesn't expect that his fairway is going to be cleanly mowed that morning, or maybe even the greens. I'm not sure. You know, you watch these greens that are rolling 12 on the stimp meter at Wailea today. You know, do they have to be that way tomorrow morning, at a public course on the other side of Oahu? No, they don't. They never used to be that way 50 years ago. And if we could just change our outlook a little bit, use less water. Brown is fine. It doesn't have to be green. Brown plays easier. You know, the harder the ground, the further you're going to hit it, the lower your scores are going to be. People have such an expectation that if something isn't green and lush, it's bad. That doesn't have to be the case. But I think the whole maintenance thing is one of the keys to being more innovative, as Alex is talking about.
Matt Janella loves Kahuku Golf Course.
So do I.
So many people do. How much maintenance goes into the Kahuku Golf Course?
Well, they got 3 guys working there and no irrigation system. So
exactly.
What about the Dish on Lanai?
You know, I love Cavendish. It's phenomenal. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. So I don't know, but I don't think we do a very good job of educating people. And I know the Golf Course Superintendents Association is trying to do it.
Yes.
But you take a look at Sand Hills, which was the next project that I was involved in with Corin Crenshaw after the plantation course. You know, we spent more money on the cart paths at the plantation course than we did on the golf course and clubhouse at Sand Hills, and it's now top 10 in America. But the most important thing to that, Danielle, is that that club has operated at a profit for 20 years, and it's only got a 4-month season. And the reason is what was built was sustainable from a maintenance standpoint. The maintenance budget's $300,000 a year. It's not $3 million a year.
Yeah.
And it works. And we really have to start making some significant adjustments for the game to work.
All right. Speaking of making significant adjustments for the game to work, I think what's interesting in the crop of players at the Sony Open in Hawaii where we are, and you guys come out. I mean, there are places where you can ride your bike and valet your bike. It's at Hunakai. You just ride your bike to Hunakai Park, valet it there, and they'll shuttle you over. That's also where you'll get free parking. And if you're in the military, whether you're active, reserve, or retired, it's free for the whole family. And because of Pasha Hawaii, there is a place where you can go and enjoy food if you happen to be in the military, and it's free. So it's a really cool, Okay, so I can hear Joey Tadeo. He's standing by. I'm not sure if our special guest I think he's on too. But before we bring in Reed Ogata and Joey Tadeo, I got to talk about the beards, okay? Now, we're changing their expectations of clothing. You know, we're trying to make it a little bit less formal for kids to play golf, for instance, because maybe we should. Maybe we should be less. I haven't seen as many beards on the PGA Tour as I've seen in this week. And they're big and they're bushy, and I'm kind of uncomfortable with that much facial hair. I don't know. Alex Mazzilli, you had an encounter. You know a little bit about, tell us a little bit about what happened about the big beard.
Well, before I get to that, I'm trying to understand why you're uncomfortable with a beard.
It's just, there's something unembraceable. And I don't mean that, I'm not going to walk up and hug some pro golfer. I'm not interested. You know, if they even acknowledge you, it's nice. But when I see somebody with a big, full a beard that's kind of unkempt, it puts me off, quite frankly.
Right.
I don't feel like they're a warm, fuzzy person that I would be able to have a chat with if I were given that opportunity.
Well, thankfully, Boo Weekly's married, so that's
not
a problem for
him. Well, no, it even has nothing to do with sexual attractions or wanting to get to know the guy. No. You misunderstand the point completely.
You're put off by the fact that the beard puts you off, just generally. Like someone that was smoking. You might be put off by a person that smoked.
It's like somebody who's hiding.
Hiding?
A beard is like hiding. Like, you can't see their face. They're hiding themselves by allowing all this hair to cover themselves up.
Okay.
So they're not open and fresh. I mean, and I don't mean it negatively. I'm just saying it's a perception.
Okay. Well, I mean, I have to say, from listening to that, I was that sounds negative to me. But that being said,
okay,
we'll go past that.
I don't care.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we got Graham DeLette, Boo Weekly, and actually Michael Thompson has got a pretty good beard too.
There's a couple guys got beard.
Yeah. But I think you're more specifically talking about maybe Graham DeLette and Boo Weekly, and maybe even more specifically Boo Weekly, who at 42 looks like he's about 49 with that beard. It's all gray, and as you said, because I think
even the color doesn't matter.
It looks a little unkempt too.
It's very unkempt, and it's just I feel put on the spot here, Alex, because I'm not saying negative about the man. Okay,
well, that's good, but I mean, you don't like his beard.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
How does the tour feel about the beard?
Well, that's a good question, too, because it's a bit unclear as well. The tour, through their officials, had a conversation with Boo Weekly, but didn't specifically say, Boo, we don't like your beard.
What did they say to them when the rules official walked over to him and said, hey,
just,
how's it?
Just wanted to know when hunting season was going to be over.
Just want to know when hunting season's going to be over.
Yes, because Boo, I think, took that as meaning that when hunting season is over, does that mean the beard goes as well?
Uh-huh.
And Boo, being Boo, suggested that hunting season is never over because they're always hunting pigs.
Okay, well, that's
not really
true.
Sure where they're hunting pigs, but they're
in
always
Hawaii,
hunting
pigs. They're always... They're pig hunters, and they're always hunting pigs. Okay, so...
Look, it's not... let's put it this way. This at times can be just like the NFL, which is also nicknamed the No Fun League. At times on the PGA Tour, it can be considered to be, you know, when you do something just a little different. I mean, this is a tour that has problems when caddies have shoes that are too colorful.
Oh.
Okay, so when you have that kind of scenario out there, you can understand where when they see a player that maybe doesn't conform to what they believe they should conform to, they will have a conversation with that player when the player makes comments that they believe are a bit over the top, which Boo Weekly made at Sanderson Farms about the wraparound season and Tim Pinchem and the PGA Tour in general.
So he's actually been vocally opposed to some of the PGA Tour decisions.
Yes. So you have those things going on. So there's a lot of things that can happen out here on a weekly basis. But you remember, back in the day, caddies couldn't even wear shorts out here unless it was a certain temperature. So things change. They evolve. I think the tour would like to see Boo Weekly not only trim his beard but probably shave his beard. I don't know when that will or will not happen, but I would think over a period of time it probably will be gone. That's probably not what Boo Weekly wants, but yet at the same time, as Mark has indicated earlier, you're playing for a lot of money out here, so you probably got to do what you got to do.
What do you think about the beard, Mark?
I'm staying out of this one. While we have a moment, why don't we thank the folks that make this show possible? I like my job.
Yeah, you're... Oh, no, I totally understand.
I love my job, too.
I totally understand, and I'm sure that Boo Weekly will never want to say hello to me again. But that's just an impression.
Boo's line is always, it's all good.
It's all good, babe. All right, so Nick Mason, he is in the field. That makes me extremely happy because he's 31 years old. He said that he's been working his game for a long time. Sometimes it takes a while to mature into your game, and I'm great, so happy that he made the cut. The cut was 3 under. A lot of guys didn't make it, and it was great to see his reaction. Very, very excited. Nick Mason has won, as you guys may know who are listening here in Hawaii, the Hawaii State Open 3 times in 08, in 13, and 2015. He won Mid-Pac Open in 2012 and 2014, Hilo Invitational in 2014, 2012, 2009, 2008, and 2004. He's a 2015 New Mexico Open champion, the Wyoming State champion. Yay! Yay, Nick. Okay, living in Eva, so all the love and support that he's getting from the people who are helping him live out his dream. And he says they're here in Hawaii. That's awesome. So we're coming up. Reed Ogata, are you there?
Yes. Hey, Danielle.
So good to have you standing by. And Joey Tadeo, Aloha Golf Center. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. We're going to come back right after we do thank the people who make this show possible. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Indian. These bikes are gorgeous. The first brand made in America. Indian. They're sexy. Indian is military tested and approved. They supplied our bikes for World War II. Montgomery Power Sports. Visit our showroom with our friendly, knowledgeable staff at 550 North Nimitz Highway, next to Liliha Bakery. Military and first responder discounts and financing available. OAC. Montgomery Power Sports. Where the rubber hits the road.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. We are in the beautiful Wailea Country Club clubhouse, and we're looking at the sun coming up. It's gorgeous, and the stand-up paddle boarders are just going back and forth. The sea is so calm. It looks like a perfect day for, I'd say, for a little fishing. Mark Offing.
Boy, I think it's about a half hour before I actually get out there. The tide's kind of high right now, so we need to go down just a little bit. So that's why I'm hanging with you, Danny.
We've got two really cool people on the phone with us now. Alex Maselli is the Golf Week publisher and senior writer. Mark Offing is Golf Channel and News, NBC News sports analyst, and with us from GolfWorks. And GolfWorks works with Golf Digest. GolfWorks is all about your equipment, the stuff you work with to make your game right. Reed Ogata is Pitbull808 on Twitter. You can follow him there, and you can, of course, find him. Welcome to the show, Reed.
Hi. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. When they go to GolfWorks to see what you have to say about the latest equipment, you're as a moderator and a writer. What is your? Do you go by Pitbull808?
In the forum, I'm Pitbull808, but when I write, it's my regular name.
Reed, okay. And Joey Tadeo, welcome to the show, the owner of Aloha Golf Center, both here on Oahu and now in Las Vegas.
Thanks, Danielle.
Absolutely. You know what I want to start with? Mark Rolfing and I have been talking for the past 2 weeks about the operation he had. He had serious cancer surgery on a gland in his salivary gland, and it affected the whole left side of your body?
On my left side, it pretty much goes from my ear all the way down to my shoulder blade because they had to take all my lymph nodes out. So I've always had a pretty steep swing, which means my angle of attack being as steep as it is, I'm a big divot, gouger kind of player, always have been, and that's going to have to change. They've immediately said that. you need to think more about playing like Tom Watson, which I wish I could, but I never will. But kind of sweep the ball a little bit more, Steve Stricker maybe. But, yeah, I'm going to have to completely start over because I just don't have the toolbox I used to have.
Okay. So Joey and Reed have known each other a long time. In fact, Reed, when I was reading your article about how Joey helped you because your swing speed was decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you wrote in your article that Joey may know you better than you know yourself, and he certainly knows your game better than you do. Is that pretty much what you said?
That's pretty much correct, as far as him.
So what I wanted to know is from how you guys worked it out so that, I mean, having to change shafts and all of that stuff and having to acknowledge that Mark is, like, ready to accept that, you know, his swing speed is what it is. He's gone through some major. You had to kind of look at it from, okay, I'm not my 20-year-old self anymore. I'm going to have to become realistic about this, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what did you and Joey, and why don't you two guys just tell us, walk us through, what did you do to fix it?
Well, Joey knows my swing probably better than me because he sees it so much on the course and in the shop and whatnot, so he can immediately recognize what I'm doing different than I did last week. And, of course, he always blames me getting older. So that's why he just looked at my swing speed on the track, man, and just my angle of attack and everything about it, and decided shaft changes were needed and whatnot.
So you love Miura. I know you love Miura clubs.
Yeah.
But, Joey, tell us what did you do to tweak the right shaft? Tell us about that process.
Well, you know,
I'm losing you, Joey.
Doppler radar based system.
Did you start over because we couldn't hear the beginning part?
I'm so sorry. My reception is kind of bad here. I mean, that's the beauty of having, you know, a Doppler-based radar system. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, it tells us basically everything. You know, it's so detailed. All the top hitters, all the top instructors, they're using this system. And it kind of helps us tweak everything that you need in your golf equipment. You know, it tells us if you're getting steep, if you're spinning the ball too much, you know, if your launch is not right, if you're not getting enough ball speed. And, you know, in Reed's case, he's lost a little bit of height over the years, and we just kind of got him into a shaft that, you know, helped him launch the ball up a little easier with his new mirror iron set. And, you know, part of it's also going to be swing. There's a couple of issues with, you know, being a little too steep with attack angle. And anytime you have a steep attack angle, you are going to launch the ball a little bit lower. So it's a little bit of swing, it's a little bit of equipment fitting.
Now, tell us, you know, I was reading the article that Reed Ogata Golfworks wrote, and you went through several different shafts. Name some of them.
Well, we went through pretty much, you know, the KBS line. He's tried everything before we kind of decided on what to get, but, you know, the KBS Tour, Sea Capers, Dynamic Gold, a lot of the Nippon Steel products, lighter weight, little heavier weight, before we kind of came to the conclusion of which shaft we felt would perform the best for him.
And it turns out it's a stiffer shaft.
He's always had a pretty good swing speed. You know, even though he claims he's lost some speed and he's getting older, he still swings pretty fast. So, you know, he's swinging something that's relatively stiff, probably not as stiff as, you know, when I first met him, but it's still, you know, in the general scope of things, it's still pretty stiff. Just, you know, we just have to vary things like the kick point. And, you know, his feel has changed, so, you know, we wanted to get him into something that felt a little smoother, a little softer, and that would help him encourage getting the launch up, too.
I like that, smoother and softer. It sort of sounds like what Mark is looking for, something smoother and softer so it doesn't hurt his body as much. Reed Ogata, Golf Works, what is your favorite shaft now? I mean, what, it's so difficult for those of us. We hear so much about this golf club and that golf club and this manufacturer and
mm-hmm.
what they're doing. But then I hear, you know, well, the club is really the shaft.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a car with an engine. That's, you're going to have a Ferrari body and a Hyundai engine. It's not going to go too fast. So the whole point of Joey's fitting is to get the shaft to fit best with the club so you get the most out of your club head and your swing.
So the and Joey was telling me there's what it, Joey, what's the highest end? And I don't know if I got this right. Is there something more expensive than the $10,000 shaft?
Actually, a Japanese company called Seven Dreamers has a $100,000 shaft.
So I'm not dreaming. There is really a Seven Dreamers $100,000 shaft. How many are sold? Have you ever talked to them about what their sales numbers are like?
You know, when I went to the Japan Golf Show last year, they were still looking. They were potential clients, and they didn't find anyone yet. But, you know, it's a unique product. You know, it's for that guy who just has more money than they know what to do with, pretty much. But I'll be going next month to the Japan Golf Fair, and I should have some information then. But as of right now, I haven't heard anything from them. Kind of curious,
their
though.
Their sales numbers aren't out yet, but it's there. If you want that $100,000 Seven Dreamers shaft, you can get it. All right. Now, we have Alex Maselli, who used to do a show on Golf Channel, and it was called On the Range. And Mark Rolfing, of course, is always following the guys. Now he's in the tower, but he used to be on course and following the guys on the course and looking at the equipment. And that's something that Reed Ogata does for Golf Works. And what do you notice about the equipment changes? I mean, you guys are watching Parsons, and I know Joey Tadeo fits Parsons. Did you get fit for the clubs, or were you doing a fitting for Parsons? Joey?
I'm sorry?
Beg your pardon?
You kind of broke up a little bit. I'm sorry about the reception.
That's okay. Were you fitting for Parsons clubs? Were you fitting somebody else, or were you getting fit for them?
We were Parsons fitters, so I was doing the fitting. It's been phenomenal. You know, the way they market the company is just pretty awesome, and people are just seeking out the brand. So, you know, this past week in Vegas, we had three guys come in for fittings just by finding us on the website because they heard so much, you know, hype in the media.
So that's the beauty of it, and that's what Reed. What are you seeing on the range? I know you're here at the Sony Open, walking around looking at. What are your observations?
Players seem to be moving over. You know, everybody likes the forged blade, but nowadays they're making the forged blades a lot more forgiving in the muscle and in the head shape and size. So I think Parsons really took that to a different level with having a blade-looking iron, but putting that internal forgiveness with the hollow cavity filled with the TPU, I guess. So they made a game. Players looking iron that just gave it a lot of forgiveness, which I guess made people like Zach Johnson change over to it.
Yeah. Now the question is, would you change from your Miura to Parsons?
I've hit the Parsons. They do feel really good. I'm stuck on the fence. I still love my Miura feels. So maybe one day I'll think about it. But right now, I'm still hitting all my mirrors.
You're also watching the Nike changes, too. Tony Finau, his mom's from the North Shore, and so
uh-huh.
is his wife. So that's why I call him a Hawaii golfer. He's got Hawaii ties. He spent summers here. He's doing so well. It's so good to see. He seems to be really happy.
Yeah, he's doing really well with the club switch. You know, some players take a little longer, but he's doing really good.
Yeah, I think he went about it really smart, starting from the green and then moving back. You know, making sure that number one, the ball that he was using was the one that he liked, and then adjusting everything. It's really great having you on the show. I hope you'll be back on again soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha. And Joey, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Danielle.
Absolutely. Joey Tadeo, Aloha Golf Center. You can find them right downtown with the DMV on Dillingham Boulevard. They're really a great shop because you get this, they're small, and the service is, it's one-on-one. You just feel like you're the only person in the world, and they're going to make it so that your clubs are perfect. And if you need anything done, like just about anything, it was interesting reading the article that Rito Gatto wrote, Find Him in Golf Works. We're going to take our final break and come back and wrap everything up. Mark Rolfing standing by so patiently, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, and, of course, Alex Maselli, publisher and senior writer, Golf Week magazine. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The big hitters on the PGA Tour challenge Wildlife for the Sony Open January 11th through the 17th. Kick off the 2016 tour season with Jimmy Walker, Zach Johnson, KJ Choi, and more. Big names, big action, big benefits for charity. Tickets at SonyOpenInHawaii.com or at First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. Military free with valid ID. Admissions and bag policy apply. Visit SonyOpenInHawaii.com.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
And we're sitting here in the clubhouse at the Wailea Country Club. It is the Sony Open in Hawaii, and Golf Week publisher and senior writer Alex Maselli is staying in Hawaii. I think it's the Waikiki Beach Comber.
It is, you know, Daniel. It's, you know, as the name suggests, it's not only right in the heart of Waikiki, but it's only 300 short steps to the famous Waikiki Beach. The Holiday Inn Resort Waikiki Beach Comber is truly a vacation retreat. It reflects the culture of Honolulu and the spirit of Aloha. 496 comfortable guest rooms, which I'm in one, and I can't tell you how nice it really is. You can see Diamond Head, Waikiki, and, of course, the ocean, and complimentary Wi-Fi, which, if you're traveling, you know what it's like. If you don't have Wi-Fi, you're pretty much
toast.
Yes.
And I love the Waikiki Beach Comber, by the way, but you've been telling me you're working this week, and you're telling me this is a vacation retreat, which I know it is. That's, like,
well, I understand that. I understand it. But, I mean, you get the Jimmy Buffett restaurant, which is now a farm-to-table restaurant, and if anyone... You know, in Hawaii, I'm sure you have that a lot. And I say Hawaii. You say, how do you say Hawaii?
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
I can't do that.
It's okay.
But another place where I vacation, and farm to table to me is great. I mean, I don't think people understand how great it really is. So the Buffett restaurant is great. Everything about the Beachcomber, the Hawaii Beachcomber is great. And so I would recommend it highly. Anyone coming to Hawaii or to Honolulu, the Holiday Inn Resort Waikiki Beachcomber, it is great. Feel the spirit of Oahu. And I guess I could say the number, huh? 877-577-5756.
Yeah, why don't you say it one more time? Because that's so
sure.
fast.
Well, I'm a fast guy. 877-577-5756.
That's an easy number.
And
good.
You can always go online at the Waikiki Beachcomber Resort.com. I mean, obviously, I'm staying there, so you think, oh, well, I'm staying there. So it's just a lot of fun. And I will tell you right now that next year, exactly where I'm staying again.
That's awesome. That's perfect. Yes, and we're just about ready to wrap up the show, and I talked a little bit.
No!
Yeah, you're, you know.
Take the rest of the day off, Alex. Go back down to the beach, cover and chill.
Mark Rolfing, are you going to be on television later this morning?
I am, and, you know, I got to tell you, it always prepares me to be on the golf club. It really does. It gets me thinking about things, and I'm not sure exactly what we'll be talking about today, but I'll have some thoughts in my mind, and enjoyed it as always. And like you said, in about 20 minutes, I'm going to be right out on that reach. You can't see on the radio, folks, but it is one of the prettiest media centers in the entire world that we're in right now.
And we're so lucky. It's like a lake. And you just see the current kind of going through, and the reef is just in the distance, so there's a small break on that reef about 300 yards offshore.
There is. And Davis Love, the Ryder Cup captain, was out there yesterday, who had to provide some assistance to Stuart Sink, who I don't think is a paddleboarding expert. He got out there on the reef, and the next thing you know, our lifeguard patrolman Davis was out there helping Stuart back in with his paddleboard.
Oh, my goodness.
That's one of the great things about the Sony Open. These players come here, and, yeah, they're playing for a lot of money and competing and all that, but, you know, late in the afternoon, it's like water wonderland out here with these guys.
And then Finau was talking about basketball. He can dunk the basketball, and whether he could actually win if there was a basketball dunking contest, and he's like, yeah, I could do it. I love it. But then he said, I know it's dangerous, my playing basketball as much as I do, because I could get hurt. And that's the first thing I thought about Stuart Sink on the reef with his paddleboard.
You know, I like Tony's trash talking a little bit on this dunking, but I'll tell you, I'm going to take Dustin Johnson in that dunk contest.
Yeah.
I'm taking Dustin.
Alex,
you know, I got to tell you, this event to me is just such a great event. And the golf course is great. The people here at Wiley are always really nice. We are kind of spoiled at this event because we eat exactly what the players eat. We all go through the same buffet. I mean, it's just such a comfortable environment. And you're shaking your head. I mean, but it is. It's great. I think that this, and when players come here that have never been here before, they kind of look and say, I'm wondering why I haven't been here before. Because the golf course is tremendous, and it really does allow anybody to win. You do not have to be a certain player to win on here. Any player can win on this golf course if they're playing well.
There you go. That's the key. And I like what, I think it was Snedeker, or no, it was Luke Donald who said yesterday that the fairways are narrow. And a lot of people think, oh, it's just the Wildlife Country Club. It's not that that's not that challenging. But it is a challenging course.
It is. It's a great course, and the players would love it. The only guys that aren't here are some of the top players, and the reason they're not here is because they're paying $1 million appearance fees to be over in Abu Dhabi where there's world ranking points. And if you got another hour and a half, I'll go into that. But they have to level the playing field. And, I mean, eventually you're going to have one or the other. You're either going to get world ranking points to go to Abu Dhabi or you're going to get appearance fees, but you're not going to get both. And that puts the Sony Open at a disadvantage because you can't get to Abu Dhabi from here in time to play, literally.
And at Kapalua, you said we should make it so that those that give appearance fees don't give as many world ranking points. It can't be both.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that was from Mark Rolfing.
I think the whole world ranking thing is a problem, and it's becoming a bigger problem because I mean, I'll just start with the Olympics as an example. I'm looking at a lot of kids that are playing in the Dominican Republic this week at the Latin American Amateur. They're good players. And they're playing for countries that don't necessarily have a very good golfing pedigree. It could be Chile, it could be Argentina, it could be whatever. Those kids deserve to be in the Olympics, some of them. They're that good. But there's no way in the world that they could get into the Olympics because it's all built on world ranking points. And so that in itself is a problem.
Yes.
Inherently a problem.
With the Olympics.
Right. And that's just the one thing. And we're trying to use that as a way to grow the game across the world. Then you come out here and, you know, it's a mathematical thing. You know, why do I fall? Why do I fall when I didn't play? Why do I go up when I didn't play? Why, if I'm in a certain field and I play well, I don't get to move up as much as when I play in another field? It's a very complicated thing, and I think the system itself doesn't really value certain way guys play or certain fields or certain things that happen. And the bottom line is that this is what everybody's married to right now, but I think it's time for a divorce.
So that commission that Tim Fincham now heads, would they be the ones to tackle it? The World Golf Foondation?
Well, there's so many different foundations. I'm not really sure who's involved in all this. But the bottom line is I think the world rankings have too much control over what happens, not only in this tour, but in professional golf. And I think it's something that needs to be looked at.
Okay. Well, so many people get confused about the PGA Tour, the PGA of America, the USGA, the RNA, the World Golf Foundation. It's difficult to tell, but they're all the same people, it seems. They're all the same small group of people who make decisions. I was just thinking of the Oscars. They became under, you know, criticism for all white people being nominated and no black people being nominated. And then someone pointed, well, you know, the Academy, the guys that vote, their average age is 63 and most of them are white. So what do you expect? So do we need changes? And I think women moving into those powerful positions that they're starting to move into in golf organizations are going to possibly make a change. Hopefully, a change.
You know, Danielle?
Yes?
That sounds good.
Yes?
I don't think there's a glass ceiling in golf, but I think what it is you're right. I mean, this is like the NFL coaching fraternity. The same guys are always the head coaches.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And yeah. I don't think women,
yeah.
I think
well,
they'll try to get along to keep themselves in the mix rather than taking the chance of making changes and being thrown out.
Right.
But that's the end of our show. Wasn't that fun?
Ross got away with not having to speak on that topic.
And I know that he was smart in the process. Thank you, Mark Rolfing, so much. I mean, it is such a pleasure. I love sitting with you and chatting. It's been great. Thank you, Daniel. Alex Maselli, thank you so much. It's a wonderful thing. I love it when you're here. We talk when you're far away, and this is great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I know I'm one of the only people that can call you Danny.
All right. My dad called me Danny, so you're allowed, okay? It was one of my favorite names. Okay. Sony Open in Hawaii, lots of free parking. It's at the Hunakai Park, shuttles to the course. If you bike to Hunakai, you can valet your bike. Check out the Spectator Village. Get free admission from a free lesson from a PGA Tour pro. You can get it right here, okay? You come over, you get a free lesson from a PGA Tour pro. A PGA of America pro. There I go, making those small mistakes. Sorry about that, guys. It's PGA of America pro giving lessons. Military, active duty, retired reserves, all of their families get in free.
Our sponsors who make this show possible, Hyundai Tournament of Champions, Futura Stone, Futura Stone's master craftsmen. They turn your building, your company, your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And Poipube Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA Tour the PGA of America's Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, and outstanding golf courses for golf of all abilities. It is the Poipube Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And today, there's a 9:20, a 10:10, and an 11:40. So if you want to get out and play a round of golf, Poipube Golf Course is your destination on Kauai. They've got great programs at Poipube. The front nine, you go out and you can play three holes after 4:30, it's $30. You want to unwind. You go to the practice facility. You get the balls. You get the cart. You play the first three holes, 1, 2, and 3. There are 3, 4, and 5. So you get everything. Poipu Bay Golf Course. Let's say you've only got time in the morning for a 9-hole round. So you go to the practice facility between 7 and 8:30. They will then, after you've warmed up, take your cart, get you out to the back nine. It's absolutely spectacular. And there's lots of room for you on the course to make that back nine in record time so you can get on with your fabulous day. Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing. Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Montgomery Power Sports. Whether you are looking for a motorcycle, a gem electric vehicle, or maybe you just need a helmet, it's your destination right next to Lady Haw Bakery. They're at 550 North Nimitz Highway. It's Montgomery Power Sports, where you'll find Indian, Victory, Suzuki, and Husqvarna motorcycles, Polaris ATVs, Gem electric vehicles, Montgomery Power Sports, where your tires grab the road. And Sony Open in Hawaii. Get your tickets at First Hawaiian Bank branches. Check in with the Sony Open in Hawaii office. They may still need volunteers, and it's always good to be a part of the volunteer pool. That's the Sony Open in Hawaii. This coming week, it's Hyundai Tournament of Champions, and then the first full field event on the PGA Tour in 2016 happens at Waialae, Sony Open in Hawaii. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.